Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How is your, what day is today? Thursday going?
My Thursday is going well. I could not be more excited to talk about Apple's most exciting product today.
Well, before we get into that, a couple of things. So next week, you and I will be in person. And this is usually around the time where we like to do a couple of episodes, knock them out. Mostly, we want to be able to give you our Q&A episode. We try to do one every year, and we definitely forgot to remind you all for the past couple of weeks. So this is your one and only reminder. If you can, please leave us questions, and we will be sure. It doesn't have to be about tech. It can be, but it could be personal within reason. It could be about our favorite food, drinks, whatever the case is. It doesn't matter. Most people keep it, you know, kind of tech related and personal. You can ask multiple questions if you want. Leave them in the comments if you're watching this on YouTube. You can leave comments on like Spotify, and can you do it on Apple Podcasts? I don't remember.
Not on Apple Podcasts, but have,
I know, on Spotify.
Email address.
Yes, podcast@macrumors.com. I was going to get to that, but have you ever checked? Sometimes there are comments on Spotify. I completely forget to check that. So maybe don't leave them there because we might not see them. But run over to the YouTube channel if that's easier, or again, podcast@macrumors.com. And I'm sure we'll tweet it from a couple of different accounts too, just to get some questions. And if we don't get any questions, then we're not going to do it. So the fate relies in your hands. Anyways,
that's right.
Yeah, it is very much a threat. It's like when my dad would threaten us as kids, you know, not to, if we don't, actually don't know where I'm going with this. Moving on, iPad. He was a nice guy, I swear. moving on to the iPad mini, everyone's favorite iPad. This is like the stepchild of the bunch, I feel like, because it often gets overlooked and people want it to be, I mean, let's just be honest. I think people really want like a pro level iPad mini. And the biggest question for me is, are we ever going to get that? I mean, we got like a redesign in 2021, which kind of put it in line with the iPad Air and Pro, right? That was kind of the goal, was to get it to look like the rest of them, remove the home button and stuff. But what are we hearing about the new iPad mini that's on the horizon?
So in theory, this should be a little bit more in line with what people have been wanting from the iPad mini, which is, as you say, a more pro-oriented model. And while I don't think it's going to be called the iPad mini Pro, essentially Apple is kind of inverting what it did with the iPad Air. So the iPad mini has most in common with the iPad Air compared to the iPad Pro or the entry-level iPad. There are a few differences. It doesn't have that M-series chip. It also has things like a rear flash, and it has an A-series chip. And obviously the biggest difference is that it has a smaller display, but in all other ways, it's basically an iPad Air mini. Last time around, we got a redesigned iPad Air back in 2020, where it adopted that iPad Pro style squared off edges, a liquid retina display, Touch ID power button. And then a year later, that came to the iPad mini. This time around, it looks like the new design is going to come to the iPad mini first, and then a year later to the iPad Air. And I think probably this will be the biggest overhaul to the iPad mini that we've ever seen. Certainly, I think it is bigger than the 2021 redesign, and that was fairly significant. We've got quite a long list of features that we're expecting for this in iPad terms, which are usually relatively unexciting upgrades.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the iPad mini has kind of always been a relatively non-exciting upgrade over the last few years. That kind of happens with all of the iPads, right? It's like once every 4 to 5 years, we get a pretty massive upgrade, and then obviously, this is pretty much every product, and then it just gets a little bump and refresh. But I mean, I'm excited to see where this goes. OLED replacing LCD is definitely a huge upgrade, in my opinion. That's the one thing that I don't necessarily love on some of these more budget iPads, is just the displays. I mean, they're not bad. They're still better than a lot of other tablets in that price point that are not made by Apple. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just don't know how I feel about the iPad mini. I want to use it more. I want to love it more. What is your daily use case with an iPad? Do you have one? Do you use it a lot?
I don't have one anymore. I bought one of the 2021 models in the hope that I would use it in place of, I think at that point I had the 12.9-inch M1 iPad Pro. So I hope that it would kind of be an alternative for me. And I just found that I didn't use it a whole lot. So I ended up selling it and haven't replaced it. But I want to love the iPad mini. There's something very playful about that device. It's easy to carry around. It's the kind of thing that's nice to use at home, maybe if you're sitting around, reading the news, reading some ebooks, consuming some content, because it's just so easy to hold. And there's just something about the way that that device is marketed. There's something about those kinds of devices that are branded with mini, or it kind of reminds me like of the iPod Touch a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just nostalgia speaking, but I would be a customer for this kind of iPad.
I think every year I try to take the new iPad mini and make it like my home device, like put my phone away. And whenever I need to do something, I'm going to use the iPad mini. And especially for like an e-reader, you know, even though it's not technically an e-reader per se, but it's perfect size for reading books. And the problem is too many other things you can do on it that I get distracted. Like, that's why people love Kindles, is because most of the time it's just books and you're not getting messages. You're not browsing the web on some. I mean, I know a lot of them can, but the traditional Kindle and the e-readers, like, that's the whole point. And an iPad mini is just too powerful. You could do too many things, which is great. But also, if you're trying to use it primarily for one thing, it can be a problem at times.
And also, the entry-level iPad, the 11-inch iPad Pro and the 10.9-inch iPad Air, they are all quite large. And while they're not as massive as the 13-inch models, which really do feel huge,
right,
they are not overly portable. If you're trying to travel light and you don't use your iPad a whole lot other than to just watch some content, I don't know that you would bring it with you unless you were taking a long flight. Whereas the iPad mini is so much more portable. And with this new design, where it is supposed to get even thinner, and the display is going to get slightly larger as well, we're expecting it to go from 8.3 inches to 8.7, so a small increase, and also presumably that will include some reduction of the bezels. I think that the device could just become that little bit more appealing. But overall, tilting toward a more pro-style device led by OLED, slimmer bezels, and a thinner design, it really will, I presume, feel a lot more like an iPad Pro mini rather than an iPad Air mini, at least when this launches in the lineup.
Do you think that this warrants a $100 price increase then?
It's hard to say. I mean, the iPad mini feels quite expensive for what it is compared to the entry-level iPad. So the iPad mini retails currently for $499. And that is $100 short of the iPad Air, which presumably is also going to go up in price when that device gets OLED as well, because these OLED panels do cost quite a lot more. Every single time we have got OLED on an Apple device, whether that was the iPhone or the iPad, it has gone up in price. I expect that this will be exactly the same on the iPad mini. That does start to feel really quite expensive, $600 basically for an iPad mini, but I guess that's just where we are. And this will feel like a fresh device. There will be at least one technology on this that will be brand new to Apple, which is the vibration-based speaker. And it will also be related to that, the first IP-rated water-resistant iPad, which does matter with regards to the e-reader market, because all of the Kindles are water-resistant.
Mm-hmm.
And
perfect for
use case for that is using them by the pool, or if you take a bath and you want to relax for an hour or so, you don't have to worry about dropping your device. Well, the iPad mini is also perfect for that. If you want to watch a show, you know, kicking back in the pool or whatever it may be, you're probably going to be a little bit nervous to do that with any iPad today. So a thinner iPad mini with this new speaker and water resistance definitely adds some appeal. And it does feel overdue. I don't actually know why they're waiting until they're giving it a vibration-based speaker, because the iPhone doesn't have that, and the iPhone has been water-resistant since the iPhone 7. So I don't understand why they are waiting. Maybe it's actually not directly related to that. Maybe it is just that they are trying to reduce costs, or they think they can get a better sound quality out of a much thinner chassis. I'm sure there are other reasons, but it's going to replace the traditional speaker holes, at least. So that design that we've been very used to for years now, with those drilled holes, will disappear. Probably, I imagine, it's going to look more like crevices or sort of pill-shaped cutouts to allow for this vibration-based design. But I hope it will sound better. I assume it's going to sound better for Apple to switch to this. Surely it can't sound worse, especially given that this is coming in at a higher price point.
I mean, aside from the speaker holes, the charging port's the only other place. And I would imagine that Apple probably uses the protection that it does for any other device that's rated with IP protection for the charging port. So it's possible that it is already pretty water resistant and they're just not paying for the IP certification for it, because that is a huge thing. I remember back in the day with OnePlus, they were like, they couldn't market their phones as IP67 or whatever the rating that they were shooting for at the time, 68. And it was basically up to that level, but they couldn't market it because they didn't want to pay for the certification because it was just way too expensive. Now, Apple could, compared to nothing at the or not nothing, it was OnePlus. Compared to OnePlus at the time, they were such a new company, Apple could obviously do it, but maybe they just didn't see the need to. But now, I honestly don't know. Because let me tell you, I have dropped an iPad before in the water. and it's been fine. So, I don't know. I mean, it could just be a one-off thing. Who knows? But
I mean, I've always found that Apple's devices are more water-resistant than they claim.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of examples of people leaving things like AirPods in the wash, in a pocket, or dropping iPads, or even MacBooks surviving quite bad spills, things like that. But this is the direction we need to go in. I mean, I would really like to see a water-resistant MacBook in the long run.
For sure.
When you consider how important that device is to getting work done, that is not a device that you want to be vulnerable to damage.
I could definitely tell you that AirPods can last the washer. What they cannot last is the dryer.
Right.
I have learned that.
That makes
sense. I have learned that one the hard way. But yeah, that's the iPad mini basically in a nutshell. I mean, what else could we really say about it? Do you think it'll sell better? I mean, what are the iPad sales like these days? I haven't really been monitoring it, the iPad mini.
I don't know, actually, off the top of my head. I wouldn't imagine that it is more popular than the iPad Air, which appears to be the best-selling iPad. I mean, the iPad Pro sales are comparatively really small, but it's understandable given how expensive that device is. I mean, if you're all in on an iPad Pro, you want the nano texture display, you want extra storage, you want the extra memory, you want the keyboard, you want an Apple Pencil Pro, I mean, you're probably pushing into $2,000 at that point, at least. I mean, if you were to kit it out with maximum specifications, I think that it actually pushes towards $3,000 or $4,000, which to me is crazy for an iPad.
Not
that all people will do that, but the iPad Pro is an unnecessary extravagance. Really, it's bought by prosumers that want to have the latest and greatest. Whereas if you just want a good iPad, the entry-level iPad or the iPad Air is good enough. The iPad mini is kind of its own thing on account of its size. You're not going to get a keyboard case for it. Even if you do like the Apple Pencil, chances are you're not using the iPad mini to do graphic design or illustrations.
No, but I heard it's a pretty good note-taking device for people in like enterprise or like students, because it's not super big.
Yeah, I can absolutely see it in those instances, but I would have thought that when it comes to making a purchasing decision, if you were, I don't know, off to college and you've only got enough money to buy one iPad, it would probably not be the iPad mini. It would be one of the other two low-end models. So it'll be interesting to see. I definitely think it will reinvigorate some interest around the iPad mini, which, I mean, it hasn't been updated now since 2024. We got the update in 2021, then one in 24, and now we are expecting this new model in the second half of 26. And we're not entirely sure whether it's going to have an A19 Pro or whether if it comes out late enough, it could theoretically have an A20 Pro, which of course we haven't seen yet. And presumably also will include the N1 and C1X chips if you get the cellular model as well.
Real quick, as of late 2024, the iPad mini holds approximately 9 to 10% of total iPad units. So behind the iPad Pro and the base iPad. So it looks like it does better than the Air according to that. And this is also according
to... That's interesting because I thought the iPad Air was the best-selling iPad. I must be totally wrong about that.
I mean, I'm just kind of... Because it wasn't mentioned in this, I'm just kind of... It's very well... I don't know. This is an AI overview. But hey, it cites this really cool website called MacRumor, so that's great. I should read it sometime. All right, real quick, this is a good spot to take a break and hear from today's sponsor. Starting something new isn't just hard, it's honestly kind of terrifying. And I remember when I first started creating content online and trying to turn it into more than just a hobby. You constantly have those what if thoughts in your head. What if nobody watches? What if no one wants to buy anything or watch anything? What if all of this just doesn't really go anywhere? But sometimes you just have to make that leap and figure things out as you go. And one thing that can make that whole process a lot easier is having the right platform behind you. And that's where Shopify comes in. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and about 10% of all e-commerce in the US, supporting everyone from huge household brands to businesses that are just getting started. One of the things I like about Shopify is how simple it is to actually build and run a store. You can start with hundreds of ready-to-use templates to create a storefront that fits your brand. They also have built-in AI tools that can help write product descriptions, page headlines, and so much more, which saves you a ton of time when you're trying to get something off the ground. And once you're up and running, Shopify helps you reach customers with tools for email marketing and social campaigns, plus everything you need to manage inventory, payments, analytics, and shipping all in one place. It really does streamline the entire process of running an online business. So it's time to turn those what-ifs into... with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/Mac. Go to shopify.com/Mac. That's shopify.com/Mac. Okay, so then the next iPad that is on the upgrade block would be the iPad Air. And I think it's basically just going to follow suit with the iPad mini, correct?
Yes, that is right. So, presumably this new design with vibration-based speakers, slimmer bezels, and water resistance will trickle over to the iPad Air, which I believe it's more popular. Maybe it's not. But either way, that is a device upon which you are definitely going to get work done in a way that you wouldn't on the iPad mini. And that upgrade, I imagine, is going to really cannibalize a lot of iPad Pro sales, because part of the reason why I love my iPad Pro is the OLED display. If it came time for me to replace my iPad and I could get an OLED iPad Air, mm-hmm. I probably would get it, especially if the next iPad Air is also a similar thickness to the iPad Pro. So what then separates the iPad Pro? The iPad Pro would be faster.
Single stack compared to tandem OLED.
So it would be... The display would be dimmer. Maybe it would have ProMotion. But in terms of watching a movie on a flight, which is the main thing I really do with my iPad Pro, the iPad Air 2027 would be just as capable of doing that. So I'm very interested to see what this means for the iPad Pro, because it kind of feels like we're kind of reaching peak iPad now. We talked a lot for years about peak iPhone. I think we are in the process of seeing this with the iPad, because the next version of the iPad Pro, also expected next year, is really not expected to see any other major differences. We're going to get a faster chip, maybe vapor chamber cooling as well. But I'm not going to upgrade my 2024 iPad Pro in order to buy a 2027 iPad Pro because it's got vapor chamber cooling. That's just not enough.
Unless you're a hardcore gamer, there's really nothing you can do to the iPad anymore that's going to make it crazy and unique and a technological advancement aside from making it fold in half.
Absolutely.
That is the next step.
That's what I think it needs, because if I could buy a 13-inch iPad Pro that folds down to the size of an iPad mini, that would be an instant buy for me. I think that would be an incredibly popular product. And it would justify the iPad Pro's price point as well. I imagine it would come with a price increase. But if I could feel like I was getting something that was portable in a way that the 13-inch iPad Pro isn't, it really does feel huge. I know it's not as thick now as it was, but it is an unwieldy device, especially if you're using that in portraits. Just sitting with it, it really does feel very large. It would be the perfect device to have in a book-style form factor that opens out, because the size of an iPad Pro is two iPad minis side by side. I think it would really be perfect for it. And even when you consider that it would open up all these possibilities, like placing it flat on a surface and then tilting it up toward you, almost laptop style, that would also be quite useful in certain situations as well. If you had to just get out an email quickly and you wanted to have slightly better ergonomics than you have just with a flat iPad, you don't have a keyboard to hand, that would also be perfect. And I feel like a lot of the iPad Pro customers who are happy to spend a lot on all of the accessories and on a device that probably they don't need, I could see them going for a foldable iPad in a heartbeat, actually.
Trying to think of what foldable or like two panel device did that. It's like Lenovo or Dell or something I saw at CES where you could do that tilt in half and then the bottom glass portion just became a keyboard that you typed on. Obviously, it's not as good as getting the physical response from a actual keyboard, but hey, when you're in a pinch and it's probably better than typing out with your thumbs. That's really the only thing that I could see that would make like an iPad become the next generation. Otherwise, these are all just very minor upgrades year in, year out. I mean, I know it's cool to get an OLED display on a device that doesn't get an OLED display, but that's it. Like, there's really not much more we can do besides some sort of radical redesign. And that really is just folding it. I don't know what else you can do to a slab.
And if you look at where we were with the iPad about 10 years ago, having a keyboard with the iPad was exciting. Having, when we got a cursor, when we got added multitasking tools, we were pretty excited for Stage Manager when it was announced. It was exciting when the iPad Pro got an M series chip. Then we got mini LED and then OLED. Then we've got these much thinner designs now as well. There has been so much that has come to the iPad, and feature by feature, this has trickled down to the iPad mini, the iPad Air, and ultimately even the entry-level iPad. But we're reaching a point now where there's not a whole lot more that they can do at the top end. So I think we probably will go through a few years, probably from 2027 through to maybe 29 before we will get a foldable iPad, when iPad Pro sales will probably be a lot lower than they are today because the iPad Air will become so compelling. I mean, I even wonder if we will see a similar thing take place with the iPad Air, with the MacBook Air, when that gets OLED as well. It's a question whether any of these devices are going to get ProMotion. We know that Apple is planning to bring OLED to even the iMac by the end of the decade. But what we don't know is whether it will have ProMotion. And there's an argument for and against. The argument against would be, well, they need to have some separation between the displays on the Pro devices and the non-Pro devices. So ProMotion would be a good way of doing that. The argument against is that we now have ProMotion on the standard iPhone 17. So clearly ProMotion is not a Pro feature anymore. And a lot of people do consider a high refresh rate to be pretty essential. And it would not surprise me if we got ProMotion on the iPad Air and on the MacBook Air. And at that point, if you can get a MacBook Air that is incredibly powerful, by then, I guess, with like an M9. M6 or an M7 chip, because we're expecting the MacBook Air to get it probably next year.
I was not thinking that early.
That is a very powerful device that would be great for consuming content as well, especially if you do finally get those slimmer bezels. And at some point, that machine is going to be redesigned as well. It's markedly cheaper than the MacBook Pro. When the MacBook Pro gets its touch screen and the price point increases and that gets OLED too, I mean, I think a lot of people probably will bump down to a MacBook Air. I mean, I could get all of my work done on a MacBook Air right now if I had to. It's just I just prefer the mini LED display of the MacBook Pro.
I mean,
same here, I guess. I mean, sometimes there's probably a little bit of an issue with performance, but not really. Mostly for me is having the ports, the card slot. That's the only thing that I need. But bringing that same thing down to the iPad Air, if it gets ProMotion and an OLED display, there is zero reason why like 99% of the people who buy an iPad Pro need an iPad Pro. Absolutely zero reason. I cannot imagine why you would need to waste your money on that. Because pretty much all of the good stuff that's on the iPad Pro would be on the iPad Air at that point.
Pretty much. I mean, eventually, once it has Thunderbolt support and nanotexture display options, like there's not going to be much left. But this is just inevitable. And with the iPhone, so much. The iPhone is responsible for driving so many sales at Apple. It is considered to be such an essential device that so many resources go toward redesigning that device periodically, bringing in new features. And you can see how, say, we're expecting variable aperture on the iPhone 18 Pro. That is coming to one camera. That will one by one end up on all three. That's three iPhone generations worth of upgrades. Bezels get thinner every generation. We're far from being done with the iPhone, especially now with foldables on the horizon. Whereas the iPad now is starting to feel like it's in Mac territory, where there's not a huge amount more that you can do. Probably, I would even argue, there's more you could do with a MacBook, because we can make the MacBook water resistant. We can give it 5G connectivity with a cellular option, OLED touchscreen, slimmer bezels, make it thinner, improve battery technology. There are plenty of those things. The iPad, it's not going to feel radically different when they bring better battery technology to it. I just don't know that the iPad is popular or essential enough where that's going to feel like it makes a radical difference.
There's rarely a time where I've run out of juice on my iPad for what I need it for. I mean, it's definitely been dead after 2 weeks of not touching it and coming back to it and being like, oh yeah, I should probably charge this, but full charge on a flight for 5 hours, I've never run out of anything. So I can't imagine. And that goes for pretty much all iPads. I've taken an iPad mini before on long haul flights, iPad Air, iPad Pro. It's been fine. So, I mean, I totally understand what you mean, but cannot knock getting more battery for sure. Cause then it just means the times that you spend not using it, it'll still be awake when you need it.
I'm really excited to see more battery innovation. I feel like that's got to be among the real tangible next generation changes that we see across consumer electronic products. Foldables definitely is where Apple is trying to move the iPhone and the iPad long term. Wearables, not in terms of headsets clearly, but in terms of Meta Ray-Ban style smart glasses, visual intelligence, AI, that kind of thing is clearly where progress is headed. But the iPad is just a more slow-moving product, and I just don't know that it drives enough sales that it makes a radical difference when you use that device as it does on other products.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. I'm still just kind of stuck on the fact that we don't have the iPad lineup nailed down. How many times have I mentioned this? I've given free advice to Apple 1,000 times. Why is it not just the iPad and the iPad mini? They're the same products. One's just bigger and one's just smaller. And then the iPad Air is your... I mean, we have this across all of the devices now. Literally, you've got a base model of some sort, which, you know, the naming's going to piss me off a little bit because they're not in line. Like, it should have just been MacBook, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, but we have MacBook Neo now being the budget option.
It should be the iPad Neo.
Sure, whatever. I don't even care. But like, it should be these are the base models. The Air has now just become kind of the middle of the road model where it's not too premium, but it's not premium. And then you've got the Pros. And it literally does this in almost every category, including the iPhone. And that one's a little bit different compared to the other ones, but like, Why are we just not calling it? Why is it just not the same as the iPad? I mean, it kind of is at this point, now that the iPad's pretty much there.
I mean, there
but
is
for a while it wasn't.
Another possibility, which is that the iPad Pro ultimately does just amalgamate with the iPad Air. If they keep trickling features down, And the iPad Pro continues to be so expensive. What really makes the iPad Pro special? And if it starts to go into like Mac Pro territory where no one's really buying this, because the iPad Air is so good. I mean, really, when we get that upgrade on the iPad Air next year, that will be the go-to iPad without question.
I mean, it already is the go-to iPad for most people. I mean, it's my suggestion.
It is, but even for like for people in the tech community, for prosumers, like, you know, we mentioned at the start of this episode that the display is not so good on it. That kind of bugs us a little bit. No ProMotion, that kind of thing. The fact that it's a little bit thicker and it's got slightly thicker bezels, these little things annoy people who are passionate about tech.
Yeah.
So if we fix all of that and we get the iPad Pro becomes the iPad Air, what is the iPad Pro for? And it wouldn't surprise me if that kind of fades away until we get a foldable iPad, because I don't know when that device is expected now. It's still supposedly in development, but we were once upon a time expecting that to come out before the foldable iPhone, but then emphasis shifted and now the foldable iPhone is coming first. I don't know that we're going to end up seeing that foldable iPad before the end of the decade. I certainly won't expect it before 2029 at the earliest. That's a long time for the iPad Pro to be left in no man's land.
I don't even know if we're going to get this phone at this point. I don't even know if that's going to happen. I would not be surprised one bit. In fact, I'd be willing to say, to me, it's a 50-50 chance whether the iPhone Fold actually hits this year. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but those reports that keep coming out where it's like, it's a little behind, but it's still going to be there by the end of 2026. Okay. Yeah. I don't believe anything anymore when it comes to Apple and timelines of things that they're trying to be innovative on. No offense.
Yeah, it could be delayed. It would surprise
me
even a couple of months delayed. I would be surprised if it went beyond December, though.
I think I'd be more surprised if it didn't come this year, but when has Apple ever released an iPhone in December? I feel like at that point, they're just going to wait. And then it'll just come in the spring.
Things got delayed was back in COVID with the iPhone 12, where some models did not release, I believe, until I think it was late October. It may even have been November, certain models. So it is conceivable.
Yeah.
And even when Apple has introduced a new kind of high-end iPhone, it has staggered that launch. I mean, when the iPhone 10 came out, which is the most comparable situation to this foldable iPhone, because it was a brand new device sitting above the other iPhones in the lineup, it was, I believe, at least a month delayed. I think it came out in October.
It came out November 3rd. That was my first day at Mac Rumors.
Yeah, so that
November
was
3rd, 2017.
Quite a bit later than when it was announced. That is entirely plausible with the foldable iPhone, although what I would say is that for my purposes, considering I'm a little bit skeptical about dropping down to just two rear cameras anyway, if the foldable iPhone doesn't end up launching till December, and there's going to be a second generation model in September, I may just wait until September. It's not all that long to wait.
Well, I mean, and here's the thing. They're going to have to it's going to have to be ready enough to where they can talk about it on September. Because if you're not releasing the iPhone Air and the iPhones, what would it be, 18, and the 18e would come out in the spring, but they don't really talk about that anyways. But if you're not releasing those two entry-level iPad or iPhones or the other iPhones, what else are you doing at this event? I mean, I know there could be other things, the Apple Watch, obviously, and is it just going to be a pro event? Are we going to hold off the Apple Watch 12 for...
Also, by all accounts, the Apple Watch Series 12 is going to be a very minor upgrade again, which...
So, shock.
Just
3 years
just
in a row.
Let the Apple Watch just have a little rest. If you can't offer a meaningful upgrade, just leave
it be. It's fine. Yeah.
I mean, last year they didn't even give it a new chip. Not that it even needed a new chip, but it's... What was the point in making that a Series 11? I mean, this is one of my favorite rants that I seem to circle back to on the podcast, which is... If you buy certain configurations, like if you buy a stainless steel Apple Watch Series 11 and you don't use cellular, it is literally no different to a Series 10.
Yeah.
No different. Not a single feature that you can count on. If we're in that territory again with a Series 12, I don't know why they don't just leave the Series 11 to hang around for an extra year. They still sell really well.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've been using this Series 11 since day one, as you can see. And I love it. But the only reason why I'm using that over the Series 10 is because I don't have a Series 10. And I just wanted to switch down to something that wasn't so big. I like the Ultra, but it's too big.
Honestly, I have a Series 8 and it still works fine.
Fine. Yeah.
I have no encouragement to upgrade.
I mean, there is a little bit of a difference in the display and the body type a little bit from that long ago.
And I know you get additional health features and it's nice enough, but
I don't use
the differences between the Apple Watch generation over generation are so small now. Smaller than any other product.
This is our time where we have nothing else to say about the future of the iPad lineup because it's so blech that we start ranting about all the other products that we don't like.
I'm excited for the redesigned iPad Air and the redesigned iPad Mini because that is a big deal. We've waited 5-6 years for that.
Absolutely. But like, I don't know. It's going to come out. I'm going to do my thing and then just keep using the Pro, I guess. It's very sad.
It's hard to be. The iPad is one of those devices now, it feels like, where unlike the Vision Pro, it's worth it. It's definitely worth it to own an iPad. I think most people can benefit from owning an iPad. They are great devices. But also, if I had to pick one of my Apple devices to retire or to not have for a year or indefinitely, in a heartbeat, it is going to be the iPad. It's not going to be the Apple Watch or the Mac or the iPhone or my AirPods. It is going to be the iPad. It is the least important. And it doesn't mean I don't really enjoy using it. I use my iPad Pro every single day. But it is a companion device for me. It is not a device that I actually do anything on productively.
I agree, but it would be hard. Okay, so because I travel so much, it would be really hard for me to retire an iPad. But if I didn't travel at all, I probably would never touch an iPad. I'll just be honest with you. I mean,
I agree. The time I use my iPad Pro most is when I'm traveling. I load it up with movies and TV shows and music and things like that before I fly. It fits really nicely on a tray table or when you're waiting around at an airport. It's absolutely perfect. I love using it every single time I travel. Then the minute I get back home, it goes back on my desk and does not move.
It's not exactly like I'm getting ready to load it up here for, you know, next week. Like, but here's the other thing, though, is it's not also just for the plane or the airport. It's like my TV when I get to my room, you know, like that's what I'm falling asleep to at night. So like that's the kind of thing that it's incredibly useful for. And some people probably use it as a TV in their bedroom at this point. I mean, we have to take ourselves out of the equation. And I'm sure people have already angrily commented about all the different ways that they use an iPad. And I'm not saying that an iPad isn't important to everyone or anyone at all. It's just, it's one of those things that we take for granted the most. It is the most
Apple
product that we take for granted the most.
Honestly, I think that
because it's incredible.
The entry-level iPad, we've talked about how good that device is for the price. I mean, what is it now? $349, something like that. That is
somewhere around there.
Really affordable.
Yep.
And it's great for kids. And if you're on a budget, I mean, you really can't complain. You're getting a lot of device for not a lot of money. Especially when we do eventually get that upgraded with a faster chip, Apple Intelligence support as well, and it feels just that little bit more modern. You can't go wrong really owning an iPad, but it just is the case that it's just the least important device. I mean, the fact of the matter is any of us can rank our devices by how important they are, and there is always going to be something that is least important. I mean, I have two different sets of AirPods. I have AirPods Pro and AirPods Max. If I had to let one go, it would be the AirPods Max because the AirPods Pro are more portable. It doesn't mean I don't love using my AirPods Max.
I use my AirPods probably way more than a lot of the other products that I would should retire. But I can retire it because there are other products not from Apple that I could use
wired earbuds
to supplement.
I mean, and it won't dramatically change your experience. I mean, even an Apple Watch, I really love the Apple Watch. I have some great memories of using it. But ultimately, I also do just like wearing mechanical watches sometimes. And it's nice to sometimes be disconnected. So for me, the weighting in my mind is, out of my little collection of devices, at the top for me is my MacBook. I could not let that go. That is my most important device. Then the iPhone, then AirPods, then Apple Watch, and then iPad. And I would eliminate them in reverse order.
I guess the Mac would be first. I don't know. It's kind of a 1A, 1B. Can't get rid of my phone.
That's true.
Like that's,
but
that's
I feel like if I had to use a little brick phone that could just send messages and make calls, I would rather be in a world where I could do that and then go and sit and use a Mac rather than not have a Mac. I can't imagine a world without the Mac.
Well, that's just because if we didn't have to work.
Yeah, but like I do everything on it. Like I wouldn't want to book flights on my iPhone. I wouldn't want to manage my calendar on my iPhone.
That's very millennial coded of you. There's like a whole thing about how millennials can't make big purchases on tiny screens.
I am one
screens.
Of those people, but I'm not millennial. I'm not millennial.
But aren't you like by a year cutoff?
2 years. 2 years.
Okay,
well, I'll take those 2 years.
And I'll let me tell you, as a millennial, I kind of go both ways in that regards. Like I can make a purchase. I can book a flight on my phone if I need to. But for some reason, when it's like a bigger trip, like if I'm planning a trip, I need to be on a Mac. I got to have the ability to look at different screens and like go back and forth and reference. But yeah, I think most people just kind of book things on their phone. So like, I don't know. You can do everything on your phone that's not work related. And so if I didn't have a job that required a Mac, I wouldn't really need a Mac. In fact, I know people who don't have a personal Mac. Could you imagine?
I can imagine not having a personal Mac, but it depends what you do. And I feel like I do so much, whether it's, I don't know, editing photos. Even when I reply to messages, my default device for doing that is my Mac, because I like to type on a proper keyboard. I don't want to process my emails on my phone. I want to do that on a Mac.
Why?
Jeez, that's all I do emails on my phone. I mean, I could do them both on both.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's keyboard commands. You can see more. I feel like I'm just way faster. But then, yeah, I don't know. Now you've got me thinking about it. I wouldn't really want to let the iPhone go with its cameras, because then I'd have to get a separate camera too.
No, just
that
take
would
your
be really we'll, annoying.
Apple will just put a, you'll just take it, and they'll put a camera on the back of the Mac, and just you'll just take it around and take pictures of it.
Well, that's what people do with iPads.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're not retiring your iPad, could you get away with having an iPad and a Mac and no iPhone? People have tried that.
I would not enjoy that.
iPad mini, MacBook. That's your combo. Or iPhone and AirPods only. Those are the two you have to pick. I don't know why I said that. I couldn't think of another product. iPhone and Apple Watch. iPhone and Apple Watch only. That's it. Or MacBook and iPad mini?
I would choose MacBook and iPad mini.
Okay. I don't know if that was a very good, like, would you rather question. I don't know. I just thought of it.
Well,
feel free to jump in there, people.
You could have asked plenty of other would you rather questions that would have been more interesting.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know. That was on the spot, okay? Give me a break. Well, if you guys want to play Would You Rather with us, let us know in the comments down below which Would You Rathers would you like us to answer. That's actually a great opportunity to send us a bunch of Would You Rathers for the Q&A. That would be fun.
I dread to think.
That are appropriate, okay? We'll definitely read the ones that are inappropriate and laugh, but the ones that are appropriate is the ones that we'll probably do on the episodes. Be sure to subscribe to the pod, like, follow. I don't know what you can do. And we'll catch everybody in next week's episode.